Hey, this is Beth from the Gun Blog Variety Cast, reminding y'all that this podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the other great podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez, talking to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia. Welcome back. Talking to people coast from coast. We are busting our monthly numbers. Our downloads are going at a rate of, I don't know, probably, they're I don't want to put a number on it, because each time I put a number on it, someone wants to fact check me. But bottom line, we are reaching thousands. That's a good liberal term. We are reaching thousands of more listeners a month. And what's beautiful is when I have people telling me, hey, I'm listening in from Santa Monica. I'm listening in from Anchorage. I'm listening in from Topeka. I'm listening in from Dallas. I'm listening in from Chicago. I'm listening in from New Haven. I'm listening in from Miami, Orlando, Marion, Alabama, sometimes. It's beautiful to see that the message of freedom is hitting coast to coast here at the Remso Republic. For new listeners, we've got one mission, and we're trying to do it very, very well. We're trying to make freedom fun again. We're talking about civil liberties, economic freedom, the opportunity for us to say, hey, let's live peacefully, and let's agree to this. Let's not hurt people. Let's not take their stuff, and let's not use the government as a violent middleman. You'd think that'd be simple. You'd think that'd be simple in our postmodern world where we're living, where, you know, instead of waiting in lines for bread, we're waiting in lines for iPhones, where, and this is funny, my, you know, it's pumpkin spice season right now. So Juliana, she was down, back home recently, and she went to one of those Walmart Starbucks, or it's here, it's like a giant Starbucks. So yeah, she went to like a giant Starbucks or something, and she wanted to go ahead and order a pumpkin spice latte, and they actually ran out of the pumpkin spice syrup or whatever they put in there. So they're like, ma'am, we're sorry, we just ran out of pumpkin spice. So she told me that she paused, she looked at the woman, and she was like, well, what am I supposed to do with my life now? And the barista looked back and said, I have no clue. We've never been in this situation before. And all the women behind her were like, oh my gosh, they ran out of pumpkin spice. Oh my God, the scandal, the crime of the century. And, you know, even though she made fun of herself a little bit, it was a funny story. Like, honestly, for a lot of people, day to day, they have their gripes and complaints. But that's one of those, you know, first world problems. Speaking of first world problems, you know, we're recording this episode out of order with the calendar, and we're doing that specifically because of what happened recently in Las Vegas. I try not to just, you know, be a headline chaser, but folks, sometimes you've just got to know when to get in the thick of it. And I try and always say, okay, if the opportunity is there and all the indicators are saying, Remso, you've got to do this, you've got to go ahead and take advantage of the moment. And what I have is a gentleman who reached out to me recently. He's the writer of a new book, and I'm trying to find the words for it right now. I'm still reading it right now. It's one of those books that you read and you kind of look at it and you're like, well, you know, I've already read a whole bunch of things defending the Second Amendment and gun rights and all this stuff, but there's not another book like it, because it's written by a gentleman who was a former anti-gun, I don't know if he would consider himself at the time a leftist, but he was a very anti-gun, pro-gun control person. And then he had, like, you know, a road to Damascus moment. And now he's one of the biggest champions for the Second Amendment out there right now. And I want to go ahead and talk to him about what's going on with Vegas, what's going on with the Democrats in the House trying to ban everything from silencers to bump stocks, so that way they can go ahead and fulfill their plan of ultimately destroying the Second Amendment, and a little bit about his book. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on Dan Wass. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Remso, how are you, brother? Thanks for having me on your show. And I have heard about these terrible pumpkin spice tragedies.
There, it's an epidemic now. Like, I'm worried that if I go there, like, what if I go there with my heart set on pumpkin spice, and then they say, like, no, you've got to have something else. Like, I might actually flip out.
Well, don't flip out just yet. I think we're all going to survive the pumpkin spice, problems we have in this country. But so what do you want to talk about? Guns and stuff?
Yeah, definitely. First, you know, there's so much to cover. My producer's throwing notes at me on Post-its. Like, okay, you got to cover this and this and this and this. But first, to kind of like even things out, Dan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your book, so that way we can kind of kick things off from here?
Sure. I started off as a kid in a family, your average middle class family. My dad was a hunter, and he had a lot of guns, and he took me out target shooting and hunting, and so I initially had experience with guns. I was trained. I knew how to use them. I knew how to use them safely. And what happened with me was, I, after my father died, I literally got caught up in the anti-gun propaganda. I started touring in bands. So I played in bands most of my life. And I always tell this story. It's not that they were bad people. They were more anti-gun type people that I was surrounding myself with. And then with all the propaganda, I actually started to fall for it. It wasn't until I had a situation in my life where, and I tell the story in the book, I don't know if you've read that part yet, where my wife and I could have potentially been in a dangerous situation. Luckily, we weren't. We made it out unharmed. But in that, you know, every once in a while in life, we have these moments. We have these moments of clarity and these moments of awareness. And it was that night that I decided and realized that not defending myself and my family is the worst thing I could possibly do, and that all the lies and all the propaganda and all the anti-gun angry rhetoric that comes from the left is really just a bunch of nonsense, because I knew about guns. I had that initial experience, and that was my saving grace, because I did understand that they really weren't these things, these terrible, dangerous, you know, things that the left wants everybody to believe. So lucky for me, I had the experience when I was a kid, had this awareness, in my adult life with my wife. And I decided in that moment, the light bulb clicked, and I realized that, the most important thing to me, and my biggest responsibility is to protect myself and my family. And so that's how the whole book started. And then I wrote an article that kind of went around on a lot of different websites. And that was the catalyst that started the book, Good Gun, Bad Guy. And, so that's basically how it started for me. That's how it happened.
I hear, I don't know if you know, but I'm a co-host for Gun Owners of America's podcast of Eric Pratt, Firing Back. And the stories that we talk about over on that show are all about people like this. There was a couple from New Jersey. They moved to New Jersey specifically after they got married because they said, okay, we want to live in a safe area. New Jersey has some of the harshest gun regulations in the country because they actually don't have any type of thing in their state constitution that's similar to the Second Amendment in the federal constitution. And as they were walking their dog one night, they went home. They, they walked in on a couple people breaking and entering, and she was viciously raped. He was beaten into half an inch of his life. They were left with, you know, physical, emotional scars. They survived. But after that, they realized that anything can happen. And I mean, the husband in that situation, he was talking to reporters and he said, I just assumed the cops would be there. And, you know, that split second where anything can happen, that's the moment where people realize you can't carry a cop with you. There aren't cops every corner. You, in that split moment, only you can defend yourself.
Yeah. You know, I think people are crazy for not carrying a gun, to tell you the truth. And you know, it's funny because my wife was not necessarily a gun. She didn't come from a gun friendly household. They really didn't take a position on it either way. So getting her on board was a little bit difficult because she didn't know anything about guns. And now, you know, if we're in a location where she may think that it's not that maybe the safest, she asks me if I'm carrying. And it's very interesting how, you know, she feels so much more comfortable now, knowing that we're better off in a situation if we were to be in a dangerous situation.
Exactly. Dan, we're going to jump on some of the current events coming up with what's happening in Las Vegas and some other things around the world that I've been able to gather together. Folks, hang on tight. The conversation continues right after this.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Rimso Republic on Patreon today. Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rimso Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Claire, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey everyone, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is Liberty. Each week we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty, rock and roll.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Folks, welcome back. We still have Dan Loss on the line. So kind of going into this right now, it's like every other situation where you have a bad guy doing bad guy things. And when that happens, innocent people die. We've seen this. I don't even need to bring up all the different situations. You know, some of the ones that instantly top of the list of my mind are Sandy Hook, the Aurora theater shooting, Fort Hood, for example, the Pulse nightclub, and now Las Vegas is being called the most, you know, casualty ridden massacre essentially in U.S. history. And the Democrats, you know, the same old crew, the Feinsteins, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, all that, you know, ragamuffin crew, they're going around saying, okay, what enabled this guy to do what he was doing? Oh, it was the bump stock. And folks, for those of you that don't know the purpose of a bump stock, yeah, it's supposed to help you fire a little bit more stable, you know, at a faster rate. But it's also meant for people with physical disabilities that can't take the blowback from a regular rifle. So instantly it shows that the Democrats want to go ahead and disarm disabled people. But now you're having them going and attacking silencers. My friend Jordan Stein at Gun Owners of America wrote a great piece a few months back talking about the Shush Act, where essentially we're going to be allowed to have silencers. And Hillary Clinton, without any evidence, without anything, is saying, oh, think of how many more people would have died if he had a silencer. You still would have heard it, folks. You still would have heard those things firing. It's not like the movies where the whole sound just goes away. But Dan, as someone that, you know, used to believe in this type of stuff, and now you're looking at from a completely different angle since you had your, you know, where the hipsters calling it, your woke moment. Like, the way I'm seeing these pundits, these people that are calling themselves journalists, these bureaucrats, the left is screaming, we need more regulation. Now they're pushing for universal background checks even harder, even though every time this happens, they do it harder. Like, what the hell? They keep pulling the same thing. They don't realize that no matter what you do or where you do it or how hard you make it, bad guys will still do bad guy things.
Yeah, they keep pulling the same dead rabbit out of the hat. But as usual, it's all about the gun and not much about the killer. You know, the left, they accepts that, you know, if we don't know much about the killer and somehow that's okay with them, they don't really need to know. We got very limited information on this maniac, and they're okay with that. But don't stop talking about the guns. They want to know every detail. They want to discuss every detail on you know, liberal media. And they're talking about bump fire stocks and automatic rifles and Armalite style rifles and how many guns the guy had, the dealer he bought it from, all that stuff, because they want to make sure that the narrative is always focused on the gun. Why? Because when the narrative, when the attention is focused on the gun, people are not paying attention to what's really at the cause of the problem, at the cause of human violence. If we were to start looking at what's causing people to do these things to other people, we'd have to start talking about gang violence, open borders, sanctuary cities, Islamic terrorism, all the things that would shine a bad light on failed democratic policies. They don't want you to look at that stuff. So they make sure they keep the focus on the gun. My job seems to have become to redirect the focus. The focus must be put back on the bad guy. What's at the cause? Is it pharmaceutical drugs? Is it mental, mentally ill people? What is at the cause? Because if we don't talk about the cause, and we're always talking about the effect or the tool or whatever he's using, we're not getting anywhere. So that's what I've been trying to do. I'm trying to redirect the focus and help everyone just kind of see that what they're doing is really just a big smoke screen.
Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the money. When I was finishing off undergrad at Liberty University, we actually had Senator Bernie Sanders come over to my school. And what's funny is that when you look at the gun community in Vermont, they actually think pretty favorable of him. But when he was running for president, he's even screaming it now. You know, he's always grandpa gun grabber. And yeah, when he was sitting down with David Nasser, who was the guy leading convocation, he was just doing a Q&A session of Senator Sanders. You know, he brought up the fact that, you know, yeah, we have all these racial issues, we have these gun violence issues, but ultimately it comes down to a sin issue. Now, you know, you take out the biblical worldview from that, you know, you, instead of saying sin issue, you just say there are some evil people in the world. You go ahead and you look at France, which has some of the harshest gun restrictions on the planet. And that still didn't stop the Bataclan murder about a year ago, where they just completely gunned down an entire concert of people. And, you know, droves and droves were just massacred, butchered in the streets of actual fully automatic assault rifles. And then you look within 24 hours of the Vegas shooting, you had a group of Islamic jihadists that went ahead and drove a vehicle into a crowd of civilians in London, killing several. I mean, you had the same thing happen last year. I forgot where it was, but there were multiple incidents where terrorists used massive trucks and vehicles to go ahead and just drive people down. And then what was funny, I always go back to Sandy Hook. Yes, you had, 20 something innocent children murdered by a gun. But when you look at China, where no one has, I bet the people there have never even seen a gun except for maybe one in a video game or something, unless you were in the Chinese military. There was a dude in some village in the, you know, the remote part of China that went, got a butcher knife and killed like just as many school kids with a freaking knife. Like, you can't legislate evil. You know, I got into an argument with somebody online, something I try not to do. And I was like, you know, why don't you double down? Why don't you just go ahead and say, hey, we should have murder regulation? I just don't understand the mindset of these people.
Yeah, well, I mean, murder is obviously the biggest crime you can commit. And if somebody is willing to commit murder, do we really honestly think that they're going to not want to enter a gun-free zone because that they might get fined? See, here's the thing. You brought up Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook, I look at that situation and I am so I'm so sad for those kids that were involved and the families of the kids. And yet you try to imagine what were those little kids, kindergartners and first graders, thinking when they were watching their classmates get killed right next to them. And here's the thing. And this wouldn't have happened if that school wasn't a gun-free zone or if there was somebody there to help protect these kids. Now, in those kids' last moments, do we really think that they were, you know, all for, you know, the fact that there were no guns allowed by good guys on that, on the school premise? You know, that incident really breaks me up, because if it wasn't for the anti-gunners pushing their gun-free zones and keeping those little kids unarmed and defenseless, that, you know, that wouldn't have happened.
Exactly. And it goes back to the gun-free zones. And I'm surprised that they haven't used that buzzword. They never do. Usually when a shooting like this occurs, the right always goes ahead and says, well, look at these places. They were places that you weren't allowed guns. You know, obviously, I don't know what the gun policy is in Vegas, but, you know, that guy, obviously, he would not have cared either way. If you're going to go ahead and do something that horrific, you're not going to go ahead and care about the laws. But anyway, sir, we're going to cut to commercial break a little bit early. I want to give you a little extra time tonight because, I mean, there's so much more I want to cover about this. Folks, hang on tight. The conversation continues right after this commercial break.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with the hooker.
Them yelling at me on Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with like tight clothing on, not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
You pulled over, engine trouble, and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously, though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing, and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's P-R-E-U-S-S podcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Mercedcast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Blogging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to libertarianwingmedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Well, hello again, America. It's me, Jeff Sessions. And I just thought that I would update you on what we in the Justice Department are doing for you. First off, we just passed a law that allows us to just have a little look-see, and you know, in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., to ensure that the Metro Rail system is safe. Now, I know you're thinking this goes against not just the intent, but the actual wording of the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution, but that's only because you're reading it in English. You gotta squint your eyes and look at it in like an ancient Sumerian text in the super secret part of the Constitution that we don't let you public read. So until next time, America, we're gonna keep you safe. Not free, safe.
Because that's what really matters.
Folks, welcome back. We're continuing our conversation from earlier. Dan, I want to add like an extra couple minutes to this because this is going to be I say deep question, but when I say it out loud, it's going to sound stupid for people that, you know, have some common sense. But, you know, common sense is the buzzword that I hear thrown around all the time. The progressives, they love their Orwellian doublespeak sometimes. It's always common sense gun reform. Oh, I don't want to go after your guns. Why would I go after your guns? I don't want to go after your guns. I don't want to confiscate them. But then again, they're going to go ahead and throw something out like, you know, Australian style gun control and all this other stuff. And then you have people like Feinstein that ultimately say, yeah, my ultimate goal in life is to go ahead and disarm every John, Luke, and Jane out there. So they call it a conspiracy theory. For all these people that are saying, oh, we just need to go ahead and chip away and away and away at your right to carry, your right to own and possess a firearm to defend yourself, your family, and your property. Do you think gun confiscation is ultimately where the progressives want to go with this?
Oh, I think they would absolutely love it because they seem to have a vision of this government-controlled utopia. You know, the thing is, you just touched on a couple, the common sense gun, this cracks me up because the common sense gun control, the reason they create these buzzwords is because they work. Common sense gun control, who doesn't want to be for common sense? So they set it up in a way that if you're against this ridiculous thing that they're offering, you must not have common sense. And who doesn't want to be, you know, who doesn't want to have common sense? Another thing, as far as terminology, people need to watch out for these terms because they're used all the time. Gun violence. This is gun violence. I call the big daddy of their fear campaign. There's no such thing as gun violence. They have a whole anti-gun campaign built around something that doesn't even exist. There is, however, human violence. And that's what we need to focus on. But gun violence, I don't know. My guns have never been violent. You know, my guns have never pulled their own trigger. There's no such thing. So as far as that goes, the terminology that they use, you know, people have to stop buying it and have to call them out on it because it's really just a big silly game that they're playing. But it works. It works for people who don't know any better and who don't critically think this stuff through.
Exactly. And it's really funny. I've got a friend online. I call him the Meme King because he goes ahead and he shares the funniest images on Twitter and Facebook. And he posted one of this guy. He has to press one button or the other. One says, Trump is a fascist. And the other one says, oh, Trump should go ahead and confiscate all guns. And that goes back to him and he's sweating. And it's just like they juxtapose themselves. Like they go ahead and say, oh, we got to disarm the cops. And then like 20 seconds later, it's like only the cops should have guns. Yeah. Is it
Well, I'll tell you what.
Are they actually stupid? I gotta say it bluntly. Like, is it actual stupidity?
I don't think they're stupid. I think they're emotionally reactive. And the emotionally reactive people tend to gravitate toward whatever sells them the best fear campaign, really. Because, you know, when the left and the anti-gunners propagate the fear, the people who don't know any better instantly fall for it because they don't know any better. That's why I said earlier, my saving grace was that I had some knowledge when I was a kid about guns. It's what saved me from falling in. But many people don't. And these people who are falling for this fear campaign just don't know any better. They truly are scared. Now, I call them the anti-gunners. They're the ones who are just scared. They want guns to go away. They want it all to be happy and nice. Now, you also have the anti-Second Amendment radicals. Those are the people that are pulling the strings. They're the ones who are creating the propaganda. They're the ones behind the media. They're the politicians that are selling all the garbage. They do want our rights taken away, and they're trying very hard every single day. So you have two different groups of anti-gunners, and that's another thing that I don't think people are really aware of. So you have the string pullers or the puppet masters, and then you have just the fearful, regular, everyday people who aren't necessarily bad people.
Exactly. And I want to highlight on that because, you know, I keep throwing out, you know, the left, the progressives, but this isn't a real left-right issue at all because, you know, you bring up you've got the anti-Second Amendment radicals and the anti-gunners. I know people that would call themselves Republicans. Dare I say I know people that call themselves libertarians. And when they see an AR-15 on TV and they're saying, oh, that weapon was used to go ahead and mow down like a gazillion people, they instantly say, well, what do you need an AR-15 for? Can you go hunt with it? What else do you need it for unless you plan on going and killing people? We need to get rid of that AR-15. It's not a left-right issue.
Yeah, and let me talk about that whole need thing. First of all, it's not the Bill of Needs. Okay, it's a Bill of Rights. But the reason that that makes sense to them is because they don't think you should have anything that you don't need. In other words, need kind of goes along with rules and regulations. Don't forget, people on the left are very rule bound. And if you present a rule to them, they will accept it easily. Typically, they'll accept it without too much kicking and screaming. If you put people out on their own and you give them their own responsibility and they have their own responsibility, they have to take responsibility for themselves. They have to pay the price when they screw up. I've screwed up many times in my life and I've paid the price. But that's how you build esteem. That's how you build personal responsibility. It would seem to me that most people who tend to be in favor of gun restrictions and gun regulations are people who are definitely very rule bound and don't necessarily want people to have that right and that ability to be free.
Kind of jumping on that a little bit. I know that you're a member of the NRA. I'm not, but I think the NRA is really awesome. You know, my heart kind of flutters when I see Dana Lash and I think Colin Noir and Wayne LaPierre are really cool bros doing a lot of good stuff, but it did kind of irk me when the NRA said that they were willing to, you know, have some conversations about the ability to purchase bump stocks. And is there ever, you bring up the fact that it's not the Bill of Needs. Why are people so willing to concede to people that they know, you know, essentially have ill intent? You know, you give a mouse a cookie, next minute he's going to want to take away your AR-15. I was kind of bothered by that. Did that irk you in any way? And, you know, yeah, what do you think the problem is?
Well, it kind of did. But when you read the statements, they were talking about putting it back in the lap of the ATF and back in the lap of Congress to decide on. So I'm not sure we've heard the end of it. I do think that the NRA serves a lot of great purposes. I mean, it's the organization is over 5 million, you know, members now. Also, you talked about Gun Owners of America. I'm a big fan of Eric Pratt. I know Larry Pratt. I've done his show. And so I think overall, generally speaking, any of these organizations are a good thing for gun owners. So let's wait and see on how that whole NRA thing pans out. I'm hesitant to say a whole lot right now because we don't know a whole lot. But, you know, a lot of people are a little bit annoyed with what they did. And I don't blame them.
Exactly. Sir, we've got to wrap up. If people want to go check out your book, see more of what you're doing, if they want to go ahead and get a good copy, and folks, I don't often recommend things, especially when I'm not getting a kickback, but honestly, Dan sent me a copy of the book to go ahead and read. I'm addicted to it right now, and I honestly think that if there's any book on the Second Amendment you need to check out and learn from and go out and take this knowledge and apply it to how you're going to go ahead and talk to people who are anti-gunners, like, Good Gun, Bad Guy is the book you need to have in your arsenal of knowledge. So, Dan, if people want to go ahead and check it out, where can they go get a copy?
Oh, they can go to goodgunbadguy.net or .com. And I do have some good news. We're almost done. We're in the editing process now of Good Gun, Bad Guy 2, Destroying the Anti-Gun Narrative. So this book, the second book, is going to go places where the first book didn't go. People are, they love the first book, and I'm so grateful for that. But the second book is gonna take it to another level.
I'll be blatantly honest with you. I work so much. Like, I listen to everything like on Audible. So that way when I'm in like a car, I have no excuse. I'll go ahead and listen to an audiobook. I actually sat down. I put my phone on airplane mode. I turned off the TV. I actually sat down and turned the pages. So it's hardcore. You did great with this.
Thank you very much. Thank you. That is the feedback I get. I got lucky. I always say the book kind of wrote itself, and it did. It just unfolded in front of me. So, but thank you. I really appreciate it.
Perfect. Dan, you're welcome back anytime.
Out of sight. We'll do it again. Awesome. Got my number.
Perfect. Folks, you heard the man. There's so much we need to know. And the thing is, the facts are out there. The facts are basic. The facts are common sense. But when you give a right away, the good Dr. Ron Paul says, you're not going to get it back one way or another. So don't let your emotions jump the gun. Bad pun intended. Definitely, wait for these things to come out, but, stand firm. The truth is on your side. Reality is on your side. And ultimately, the truth will prevail, but it involves steadfast patriots leading the way. Go ahead and help me out. Go ahead and subscribe to Gun Owners of America Firing Back. Eric and I are coming back for Volume 2 very soon. We've got some information about that. We'll go ahead and put out some great new episodes. But, give the Remser Republic a 5-star rating and review. It helps us trend, helps us get the narrative out there, helps us let people know about awesome people like Dan who are putting out great things that you need to check out. And, as always, be good to your neighbor. Go out and treat yourself a bit. And as I said 20 million times, follow me on Twitter at Remso101, R-E-M-S-O-101. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?